Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. Our music is different this week because it's time to take a break from news of the environment to celebrate the cool and dormant season in the north. We have a winter storytelling tradition here at Living on Earth as the sun hits its low point and folks get together. But you don't need short days to celebrate, and this year we've invited some storytellers from the Caribbean to share their fables and experiences from this time of year. It may not snow in the Caribbean, but come winter, the trade winds pick up and bring in a welcome coolness. With us to begin is Yvette Brandy. She's a native of St. Thomas with roots in St. Kitts. She's a speech therapist, singer, writer, and storyteller, and now lives in Pasadena, California. Welcome to Living on Earth, Yvette.
Thank you.
Now, what kind of memories do you have of Christmas in the islands?
I know when people think of Christmas, for them it's cold and winter and they snuggle. But for me, Christmas is you wake up in the morning to scratch bands singing and dancing, and they're singing, good morning, I come from a guava berry. Good morning, put it on the table. And then the choir singing behind it, and you give them something to eat, and they go to the next house. And then you're smelling tart baking and the ham in the oven. And that's what Christmas means to me. That's what I remember.
Now, your family, as I understand it, is from St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands, but also from St. Kitts.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, the Danes had the Virgin Islands, but not for very, very long. But the British and French held on to St. Kitts for a good while. Of course,
yes.
Both had slavery. So tell me a bit about the culture of the islands as you experienced it.
My mother was born in St. Kitts, and so I would spend summers there with my grandparents. And I was born in St. Thomas. My mother was born in a small village called Monkey Hill, and there was no electricity yet. And there was no indoor plumbing yet. My grandmother worked in the cane fields. And so I understood that the ground that she now owned was hard earned. And if she wanted to cook soup, she would send me into the garden to get the potatoes or to get the yams or to get the cassava, whatever she needed. It was right there. And so she taught me that. Growing up in St. Thomas, where at that time it was an American island, was very different. Definitely we had indoor plumbing and electricity and all of that, but there was also the expectation that you would do well, that you would serve your family well, and that you represented your family every time you left your door. And so that was the expectation.
Now, the islands in the Caribbean, of course, for people that whose families came originally from Africa, mm-hmm. pretty much came as slaves.
Yes. In fact, my great-grandmother was a slave. She remembers that. She never knew who her parents were. She never knew who her siblings were. But she was expected to succeed, and so she built her own house. She had her own shop, and so she baked and sold goods. It was expected, regardless of your circumstances, you were supposed to rise above them because circumstances will always be there.
Now, there's a Caribbean character, a character who's well-known on many islands, apparently, and that's the Jumbie Ghost?
Yes.
And I was hoping that you would tell us a Jumbie story today.
I absolutely will. And a Jumbie, as you said, is a ghost. And you have many, many stories written about the Jumbie, and usually they're cautionary tales. They're there to teach you a lesson. And so the Jumbie story I'm going to tell to you today is called Mr. Lenneman and the Jumbie Dem. One day, Mr. Lenneman saw a piece of property he wanted to buy. But everybody knew how cheap he was, and he had no intention of spending that kind of money on that land. And so he went to the seller, and he offered him a price. He said, I want to buy that piece of property for that amount of money. The seller thought he was stone mortal crazy. Oh, I don't think so. Well, no matter what happened, Mr. Lenneman kept going lower. The seller got so frustrated with Mr. Lenneman. He said, okay, you know what? I have a bigger piece of property on the other side of the island. You could have that for whatever price you want. Well, Mr. Lenneman was so excited. Of course he took it. And he ran over there so fast. I mean, you couldn't see him move. Next thing you know, he got there and he was like, but wait a minute, the land is bigger. And so he started, okay, let me think. What I'm going to do first? I'm going to plant some corn. Then I could take it to the market and really make some good money. So he started to clear the property. So he pulled the bush. Next thing you know, he hear a voice say, "Ah, who dat a pull the bush?" Mr. Lanaman turn around. He ain't see nobody. So he went back to pulling the bush. The voice say again, "Ah, who dat a pull the bush?" Mr. Lanaman say, "It's me, Mr. Lanaman." Then the voice say, "Let we help Mr. Lanaman pull the bush. Big and little, get up, get up. Big and little, get up, get up. No bush left here today. There will be no bush left here today." The next thing you know, big hands, little hands, fat hands, skinny hands just come up from under the earth and start pulling the bush. They clear the land in tutus. Huh. Mr. Lenoman was so happy with what he saw, he forgot how scared he was. You know, all he saw was free labor. He had them Jumbi plowing the land and planting the corn and maintaining the crops. The next thing you know, he had rows and rows of beautiful corn. He was so proud of himself. He called his wife up to take a look. The wife look around and say, "But honey, how you do all of this hair by yourself?" He said, "All by myself." Well, sir, he went down tongue to brag about it. And he tell the wife before he left, "Don't touch anything." She agreed. When Miss Lanaman left, Mrs. Lanaman looked around and she was like, "Lord, look at this corn, no? My husband worked so hard, the least I could do is make him something from it." She pulled the corn, and then a voice say, "Ah, who dat a pull the corn?" Mrs. Lanaman turned around, she didn't see anybody. "Ah, who dat a pull the corn?" "It's me, Mrs. Lenoman. Let we help Mrs. Lenoman pull the corn. Big and little, get up, get up. Big and little, get up, get up. No corn left here today. There will be no corn left here today." When Mr. Lenoman come back and he see all of his corn gone, he was so mad. He said, "Woman, me ain't tell you not to touch nothing." He didn't even think straight. The next thing you know, he give she one clout. "Ah, who dat a clout he wife? Ah, who dat a clout he wife? It's me, Mr. Lanaman. Let we help Mr. Lanaman clout he wife. Big and little, get up, get up. Big and little, get up, get up. No wife left here today. There will be no wife left here today." When Mr. Lanaman realized what he had done, he started bawling and a wailing, and he was standing there scratching his head. "Ahu dat a scratchy head? Ahu dat a scratchy head? It's me, Mr. Lanaman. Let we help Mr. Lanaman scratch his head. Big and little, get up, get up. Big and little, get up, get up. No head left here today. There will be no head left here today." Well, around midnight, if you go walking through Shalatamali, you will find Mr. Lenoman's Jumbi looking for his wife and looking for his head.
Ooh, that's a scary story, huh? So what's the moral of your story?
That you will definitely get what you buy. That he thought he was getting this cheap piece of land for nothing, and there's always a price. There's always a price. Nothing in this life is free.
And then I suppose be careful what you ask for. You may get it.
Be very careful what you ask for.
Now, one thing I think about with the islands, of course, is carnival time.
Yes.
What relationship between the Jumbies and carnival, if any?
We have what we call the Moko Jumbies, and they're the guys that walk on stilts.
Ooh.
And so, legend has it that they're supposed to protect you from evil spirits. And so they're a little different in the sense that when you see a Moko Jumbie coming, that's something good. They're decked out in their costumes, and music is blasting, and they're dancing, and it's a celebration of our carnival time and a celebration that we're here another year. Whereas if you see a Jumbie coming, you might want to be careful.
Run the other way, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
So what was it like at carnival there in St. Thomas?
Oh, it was fabulous. Carnival was weeks at a time. And you had music, and the steel orchestras would compete against each other for panorama. And, of course, you'd have the parades. We had two parades, the children parades and the adult parade. And all of this was a huge celebration of our culture and our past and just saying thank you for another year.
Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing those memories and those stories with us here on Living on Earth.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yvette Brandy tells stories, practices speech therapy, sings and writes, and loves in Pasadena, California.
Good morning, good morning. I come from a guava berry. Good morning, good morning. Put it on the table. Good morning, good morning. I wish you a Merry Christmas. Good morning, good morning. And a Happy New Year. Good morning.
You're listening to a Living on Earth holiday special. Coming up next, memories of wild oregano and clove from Puerto Rico. Stay tuned to Living on Earth.